Thank you for joining us on the Waymaker Church podcast today. We hope this inspires you, builds your faith, and makes a way for the new and deeper with Jesus Christ in your life. Enjoy.
Hey, we start a series today called King of Kings. King of Kings. Why are we starting a series in Christmas talking about the King of Kings? Because here's what we know about Jesus. Jesus, he definitely can redeem our life. We know that. But he also came to rule our life. Do not miss this. Do not miss this. And this is going to make sense today and really throughout this month as we unpack this. Jesus came to redeem our life. And I think a lot of people, especially in the South who go to church, we hear that and we go, yes. And we sing the songs. We go, Jesus saves. Amen. He died on a cross and he rose from the dead to redeem our life, to say to sin, evil, and death, you cannot have this one. Yes. He also, though, came to rule our life. In other words, he wants to transform us. He wants to lead us. He wants it all. All of it. He wants our heart, soul, mind, strength. He wants our allegiance. He wants our adoration. Jesus does not apologize to us when he says, I want you to lift your voice and lift your hands and adore me today with your voice. Because I hung on a cross and I rose from the dead, and the same spirit that rose me from the dead is in you. So come on, sing to me, give to me, serve in my name. Jesus came to redeem our life, but he also came to rule our life. I want to talk today and really over the next 3 weeks about ruling. That Jesus wants to rule our life. I think there's something in the atmosphere here today. It sometimes gets in our heart. It sometimes gets in our house. And it gets in our church. And it definitely gets in our world. And we're going to look at the story of a man named Zechariah. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. In the time of King Herod of Judea. What time is that? That is in the first century. That is 2,000 years ago in a place called Palestine. Never heard of that place, I'm sure. Nervous laugh. Okay. In the time of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah. Do not miss what his name means. Some of you say, what does his name mean? His name means Yahweh remembers. God remembers. He was named after one of the Old Testament prophets. God remembers. He remembers. He remembers. I want to talk to some people today who remember God. You remember his word? Oh, you can recite John 3:16 backwards and forwards in three languages. You remember God. You remember the songs. You even remember a couple sermons that the preachers preached in the last year. You remember God. But you wonder, does God still remember me? Does he still remember me? Because we're going to meet this guy, Zechariah, and there's something going on in his heart. Something's about to happen to his life, but the thing going on in his heart could encumber that. The priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. Now, what does that mean? There is, in the line of Aaron, there were different priests, and they had different responsibilities, and one group was strictly responsible for the upkeep of the temple, for the practices and the rituals and the upkeep of the temple, and that is who he is a part of. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God. They were upright people. When Zechariah and Elizabeth walked into the room, people just say, you know what? Those two, man, There's just something about them that's honest. There's something about them that is true. There's something about them that is right with the Lord. Observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. They were showing up to church, y'all. Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were out in the hallways. They were signing up to serve the community on Christmas Eve services. That's Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were people who wanted to be where the Lord was moving. Verse 7, but they were childless. But they were childless. Because Elizabeth was not able to conceive. Not only were they childless, and they were both very old. They were childless in, according, of course, to custom and biology of the time, there was no way they were ever going to have children. And yet they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. I'm sure in the very early parts of their marriage when they were young, they were thinking next year is the year. We're still young. We're still, you know, we're still in a young season of our life. And they prayed and they prayed. Zechariah, your name means Yahweh remembers. God remembers us. He remembers us. And we're putting in the work and we're taking care of the stuff that God wants us to take care of. And we're, you know, we're keeping honest books and we're doing what the Lord, he's going to remember us. And then they get into their 30s. Well, we're still on the list, I'm sure. God remembers us. And then they get into their 40s and no children. Maybe, just maybe. And then they get into their 50s. And they get into the time in their life where it says they were both very old. What happens? Zechariah has gotten to a place, we're going to see this, he's gotten to a place where he's going through the motions. He still believes in God. He does. He believes in what he's doing. He just doesn't know if God still believes in him. I want to talk to some people today who've been there. I want to talk to some people who've prayed and they've prayed and they've prayed for breakthrough in a relationship or in a situation. In season after season, you pray until the point where you just stop praying. You just say, you know what? I think God is doing things in people's lives. He's just not doing it in mine. But you know what? We're going to go. We're going to go to church, and we're going to try to get through the songs, and we're going to try to get through the sermon, and we're going to try to get to group on Wednesday night. But I just don't know. I don't know where my heart is in this. I don't know if I can really give much more than I'm giving anymore, because yes, God remembers, but I don't know that he remembers me. And then what happens? Zechariah, who is a priest in the order of Abijah, gets a once-in-a-life opportunity. It falls to him to take care of going into the temple to light the incense and to light the candles at a particular time. And while he's in there, he has an encounter with a messenger of the Lord. And the messenger of the Lord, Gabriel, says to Zechariah, Zechariah, your prayers have been answered. What? Yes, your prayers have been answered. You and your wife, what does it say? Verse 18. It says, Zechariah asked the angel, how can you be sure of this? Be sure of what? That you and your wife are going to conceive and have a baby. And what is Zechariah's response How can you be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years. How can you be sure of this? Translation, you expect me to believe that? You expect me to believe that? How many of us have ever asked that question? You expect me to believe that? And we literally or figuratively roll our eyes. It's not that we don't believe in God. It's not that we don't believe Jesus saves. He just doesn't rule anymore. He doesn't rule anymore in our life. You expect me to believe that? I want to talk to some people today when Micah was up here proclaiming, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And you were like, you expect me to believe that? You may not have said it out loud, but in your body language, right? You expect me to believe that? And then when Summer came out here and she just started singing and inviting us to praise the Lord, you couldn't stop thinking about all the prayers that haven't been answered in your life. And all the people who've let you down, and all the expectations that haven't been met. There is, I believe, a spirit of cynicism that gets in our hearts. Cynicism that gets in our hearts, and it not only gets in our hearts, but it gets in our house. Oh, be careful. It's coming. It gets in our house. You see, when it gets in our hearts, we can't help it because it just starts coming out of us. And all of a sudden, it gets in our house. And then it gets in our church. Yeah. Cynicism. It's easy to get cynical. Some of you got an email this week that said that my identity has been stolen. Yes, the lead pastor. Somebody cares enough to steal my identity and impersonate me. I don't know if I've arrived or not, but there you go. Yeah, so we found out from a couple organizations that somebody was calling them up and impersonating me. They had my driver's license number, my birth date. They had my they had a mock-up of my Virginia driver's license. They had my social security number. They even went as far as to start a domain, waymakerchurch.church, which, by the way, don't go there. And they were going to set up a giving portal. And so we got this evidence given to us by these companies who said, yeah, we were on a Zoom call with this guy, and we went to your website, and we said, this doesn't sound anything like the guy on the website. This guy sounds like, well, he's British. Yeah. So, I mean, you at least could have faked it, man. Come on. So I looked at the driver's license, and it wasn't, of course, the picture on my real driver's license. And sure enough, he had my driver's license number. He had my address. The only thing that was inaccurate, which I was okay with, is he had my height at 6'2". I was like, come on, man. Let's go. I'm all right with that. So we spent a couple days, you know, I was talking to some of you guys here in the church who deal in cybersecurity and all of that, and you guys have given me great advice. And here's advice that I'll just side note, pass on, you know, get the identity protection and lock your credit and call your bank and tell your church. You can get cynical, though, real quick. In fact, my wife was on one of the security or identity protection websites and finds out right before she's about to give information and pay that it is actually a fake. That somebody has taken one of the major and completely replicated their website, and they're, of course, telling everybody that's not us. And it's like, you can get real quick, real cynical about the world that we live in. Be People trying to steal your ID. People trying to raise your height a few inches, right? People trying to get into your life. And then even people that you love. You can get cynical real quick. And a spirit of cynicism starts to creep into your life. I want to look at what cynicism is just for a minute. It's an attitude of bitterness and distrust. Let's talk about that just for a second, an attitude of bitterness. Sometimes cynicism comes out of this low and slow burn of anger. Somewhere we got wounded. Somebody didn't show up for us. Somebody walked out on us. Somebody didn't meet our expectations. Somebody said something or did something, and it wounded us, and it just started. We just couldn't deal with it. We couldn't talk about it anymore. We just pushed it down, and all of a sudden, everybody's like that. Everybody's trying to steal my identity. I'll be 7 foot tall before it's over with. Right, Luke? Come on. Bitterness. Starts with bitterness. We talked about that. Distrust. Can't trust anybody. And it gets vented towards people in our life. People we know, people we love, people we don't know. Walking through Walmart like Scrooge. Yeah, you're going to try to steal my parking spot. I know it. Salvation Army guy wants my money. Distrust and bitterness towards authority. Maybe it was authority. Yeah, ooh, touched something there, didn't we? Maybe it was people who were in leadership. Maybe it was people who were supposed to protect you. They were supposed to guard you, and they didn't. In fact, they hurt you really bad. And so now all authority cannot be trusted. And then what happens eventually is it's a bitterness and a distrust, even for a hopeful future. We can't even see a hope into the future. The future is just going to get darker and darker and darker, and we carry that. That is where this man Zechariah was. He was old. He believed in God. He had a duty to take care of. And him and his wife, they were paying their taxes. They were giving their tithe. They were telling the truth. They were honorable people. But there was this slow and low burn of bitterness and distrust. Oh, it starts with people, authority, and the future, but all in the midst of it, it gets transferred to God. I can't trust you, God. I'm not going to go as far as say I don't believe in you anymore, but I don't think you believe in me anymore. Cynicism. So what happens? What happens to this priest who the first time in his life he's given the opportunity to go in and fulfill a duty that so many priests have just longed to be honored, and he goes in and the Lord's messenger visits him, and not only does the Lord's messenger visit him, but he says, what you've been praying for your whole life is going to come true. And what is his response? He's over there on his phone. He looks up. You expect me to believe that? You expect me to believe that? So what happens? The angel said to him, I am Gabriel. What more do you want, man? I stand in the presence of God. Like, I'm Gabriel. This isn't fake news. This isn't a fake website. This isn't an imposter. I haven't stolen anybody's identity. I am Gabriel. I am a messenger of the Lord. I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. I think that some of you, when you walked in here today, already heard the Lord saying, I remember you. I have a meeting that I want to have with you. I want to impart something into your life that will shift you and change you. And from the moment you walked into the parking lot or walked through the parking lot into this building, you have maybe literally but figuratively and spiritually said, you expect me to believe that? I don't think so. Oh, come, let us adore you. Yeah, all right, whatever. Man, we all get there, don't we? We all get there. We can get in a place where, man, the angel Gabriel comes carrying the presence of God and giving us good news, and our response is, you expect me to believe that. So go. Well, guess what, God? In his mercy, y'all, in his mercy, look what happens. This is what happens. Verse 20, it says this, and now you will be silent. You will be silent. The promise is going to happen, Zechariah. It's going to happen because you've been chosen. It's going to happen. But you are going to be silent. You are getting benched. Oh. You're getting benched. You're getting put on the bench, Zechariah. The injured reserve. You're not going to be back in the game until the playoffs. Sit on the bench. You will be silent and not able to speak. And what we're going to see later is, scholars believe not only was he mute, but he was deaf as well, that his hearing was affected by this. He could not hear and he could not speak until the day this happens. Because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Just don't miss this. Please don't miss this. Don't miss this. Because yes, in God's mercy, he's setting Zechariah down, but he's setting Zechariah down and he's turning everything else down. And he's focusing his life for two reasons: to protect others from Zechariah's cynicism. The Lord does not want Zechariah showing up to work in the next several months going, yeah, I did hear a message from the Lord, and he did say, and yes, my wife is pregnant, but we'll see. No, Zechariah, you're going to go home for a while. No, don't show up at my temple with that. I don't want you leaking that. You ever gotten to a place like that where breakthrough's happening in your church, this church? I mean, we hear a story, a woman who's dealt with leg pain for years believes that if she prays to the Lord, he'll heal her of her leg pain, and he does, and there is a golf clap in the room.
That's great, yeah. I think that might have happened.
And we hear this guy who's been through the valley of the shadow of death, and he's going all out and all in believer's baptism, and he's like, man, I'm a new man. The old me is gone. I am resurrected into a new life in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's great. Yeah. Maybe the girls will come out here and sing another song. As for me, I don't know. I don't know why I got a Kermit the Frog. But I don't know what happened there. It just happened.
Add a little British accent, see what happens. Unaddressed cynicism. Let's talk about it. Unaddressed cynicism stunts our faith, joy, and gratitude. It does. It stunts it. It stops it. And it spreads to others relentlessly. See, that's why God says, hey, Zechariah, I love you. I remember you. This is going to happen. But let's have a conference. And I'm going to get you out of this situation. And I'm going to sit you down. and you're going to be with your wife in isolation. You're not going to be able to hear anything, and you're not going to be able to say anything. And you're going to watch your elderly wife through all the seasons and the trimesters of her pregnancy. And we're going to talk. I think some of us, man, we need to have some time with the Lord. It's been a while. It's been a while. Oh, you got the latest Maverick City streaming. You got the latest Elevation Worship streaming. You can't remember the last time you lifted your voice and lifted your hands to the Lord and said, I adore you. You are King of my life. You're not just Savior. You are King. You can have it all. You can have it all. And it comes down to this thing called cynicism, this slow, low burn of bitterness and distrust that starts with people and authority and then gets transferred. But what happens is this stuff starts to spread. It starts to spread. And it spreads in the church, right? It spreads in the church. People, cynicism starts to spread. And people who are just coming to church happy, man, they've been through the valley. I mean, Garrett, before Garrett even gets out of this building, he's going to bump into a couple cynical people. And the fire that he has right now might get a little bit dimmer because he just bumped into the wrong people. Oh, yeah, that's great. You expect me to believe that, Garrett? Oh, okay. I mean, all right, maybe not. And out of God's mercy, he sits Zechariah down and says, you're not going to say a word. You're not going to say a word. You're not going to hear anybody. I'm turning it all down. I'm turning it all down. Cynicism, what does it do? It breeds questions that no answers satisfy. You get to a point where you're so cynical. People, you know the people who send you Bible verses and you're just like, whatever. They text you, hey man, I saw that you were really down. I saw that you were carrying something and you just roll your eyes. I don't want your platitudes. I don't want your motivational scripture verses. We may not say that verbally, but we just ignore the text. Or instead of responding by saying, hey, thank you so much. I'm very grateful that you thought about me. Because gratitude's gone. Right? Gratitude and joy, they're gone. They gone, right? So what we do is we depress the text and do one of those little thumbs up. Right? And that becomes our walk with the Lord. Jesus died on the cross for broken, busted, going to hell me. He rose from the dead and said, you are in the family of God. If that's where you are right now, because I've been there. And I get it, right? You're part of a church. A crazy spiritual family of people who break promises, who act a fool, who sometimes are just weird. And all that gets in your head and gets in your heart, and you start associating with the Lord, and you're praying for breakthrough, and all of a sudden you show up at the temple and you're lighting a candle, and the angel Gabriel says, hey, I got some good news for you. Thumbs up. That's it. You've been praying for decades, man. It's a long time. You're childless and you're old, man. Like, you're going to have a baby. You and your wife are going to have a baby. No answer satisfies. You expect me to believe that? Cynical questions. Where do they form? Let's talk about it. They form in seasons of pain and disappointment. You expect me to believe that? If that's where you are right now, check your pain. Check your pain. Check your disappointment. Where are you taking that? Where are you taking your pain? Where are you taking your disappointment? Because you don't get a pass. I don't get a pass. Jesus didn't get a pass. This life, right? It's painful. It's disappointing because it's broken. Cynical questions, what do? They lead us somewhere. They lead us to believe that all of our questions are valid and unchangeable. You expect me to believe that? I think that's a valid question to the angel Gabriel. I think it's a valid question. I think it's a valid question to just say, did Garrett really fully go all in with Jesus? Did that lady really, really have her leg healed? It's a valid question. It's valid. Yeah, man, we get there, don't we? Get there. And man, nobody is exempt from this. Here's the problem. Unaddressed cynicism entrenches unbelief, quiets God's voice, and transfers generationally. Some of you right now are cynical because your daddy and your granddaddy walked out on the Lord and passed it down to your dad and now you. And you find yourself going, maybe this thing is just a bunch of waste of time. And your kids are like, yeah, dad, yeah, me too. I don't know. Passes down generationally. Now, I want us to jump down, if you're in your physical Bible, all the way down to verse 57, okay? When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, yeah, this happened, y'all. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. So all of the while, Zechariah is unable to speak, he's unable to hear. He's unable to be a priest and do what so he's out of his job. He's with his wife. He's been with his wife. He's on the bench, if you will, injured reserve. And something is happening during this time. Cynicism is being addressed in his life with the Lord. Here's what we have to see. Addressing cynicism, three things. Turn down the noise. Turn down the noise. Turn off the TV. Maybe you just shut down social media for a while. Maybe that's what you do. I did that this week. I did that this week because you know my friend who got some of my pictures from my social media feed. I wish he would have chosen some better ones, but anyway, you know, hey. Whatever. Turn down the noise. Maybe you need to turn down the news. Whatever. Like maybe you need to turn down the negative friendships that you're associating with. You know, maybe you need to say to the cynical people that you're hanging out with, "Hey, I gotta take a break. Tune into God's Spirit." So. Not only are you going to turn down that noise, but you're going to tune into God's Spirit. Don't just turn down that, but tune into God's Spirit and take on the pruning process because that's exactly what's going to happen. God is going to start pruning you when His Spirit starts speaking to you. He's going to start taking things that are good but not great. Let me have that. That's in your closet. Just let's get that out of there. He's going to start taking things that are sick and not getting better. They're sick. He's going to start pruning that. Let me have that. Let me have it. Zechariah, let me have it. Look, you got a lot of time now. You're not going to work. You can't talk. You can't hear anything. You're just watching your wife be pregnant. Why don't you just, let's take that. He's taking away things that are dead and never coming back to life. He's taking them. He's pruning them. The Spirit of the Lord. Verse 62. Then they made signs to his father. Why'd they make signs? Because many believe that he could not hear. To find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet. To everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. Why is this everybody's astonishment? Because that's exactly what he was told to name the child. Don't name him Zechariah the fourth. Name him John. Immediately it says that his mouth was open and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. I think that's about to happen. I think some of you walked in here and you were just fine. Cynicism had just become part of you. You didn't even recognize it anymore. You're bitter, you distrust people and authority, and you have no hope for the future, and it just seeps out of you, and you don't even know it anymore, and you just transfer that right over to the things of God. Yeah, you show up, you come here, and it's fine, and you tune in, maybe another sermon, but something's about to happen that your mouth is about to be opened because God has been doing a work in your heart and your mind in these last 40 minutes. He's been reminding you that he remembers you. I remember you. I was there. You shouldn't even be alive, but I was there, and you're here, and I gave you that word, and I gave you that person, and I stepped into that situation. Look what it says. All the neighbors were filled with awe. You see, when one person gets set free from cynicism, their voice and their volume goes to a new level because they have a new perspective. And man, their witness is powerful. Garrett's story is powerful. It's powerful. He has a new perspective. Addressing cynicism, it's acknowledging doubts. Look, we can't say that doubt is not part of our story. We doubt. But we also resist the lies and we submit to the divine mystery. We submit to the divine mystery. There is so much mystery in all of this. A friend of mine, I had lunch with him this week. I said, hey, man, what's the biggest thing that you're challenged by right now? It's actually two things. I was like, wow, okay. He said, first, my middle school daughter. I was like, yeah, fair enough, man. He said, yeah, we used to be really tight. She used to want to hang out with me. It's like, I was dad, and she wanted to go to have coffee with me all the time. We talk, and it's like, now she's like, she stiff arms me. I don't know who. Like, she wants to hang out with her friends all the time. And every now and then, she'll just say, hey, yeah, dad, okay, yeah, let's go hang out. But it just seems like she doesn't want to hang out with me. She doesn't want, like, I'm not cool anymore. I was like, yeah, man, I get that. I'm from the future. You'll get through this. You'll get through this. You'll get through this. What else? You said something else. He says, yeah, man. He goes, I just don't want to pray anymore. I don't want to read my Bible anymore. He goes, there was a time in my life where I'd go out into this place at the back of my house, and I'd spend an hour or more reading and praying and spending time with the Lord. And man, I walked in that. He goes, man, I don't even want to do that anymore. Because I still believe in God, and I'm not deconstructing my faith or anything like that. I just don't want to spend time anymore. I don't want to get in his word, and I don't want to pray anymore. He goes, you know, what do you think of that? I said, well, I mean, I said, what do you think your middle school daughter thinks of her relationship with you? Right? I mean, think about it for a second. Man. And he's like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Yeah. Yeah, you know how you feel when she doesn't want to hang out with you? You got all this wisdom and all this discernment you can just unpack for her right now in this time, this critical time in her life, but she's stiff-arming you? How do you feel about that? It's like you long and you yearn for her just to say, hey, Dad, can you help me out with these mean girls over here? Can you help me out with all this pressure I feel in school right now? Isn't that kind of like what the Lord wants to give you, man? Yeah. Ooh, wow, yeah. He just wants to spend time with you. He wants you to ask him things. He wants to give you things, just like you want to give your daughter. And you don't want to force it on her, do you? And God doesn't want to force it on you. He just wants to spend time with you. He wants you to want to spend time with him because he's got all this stuff for you. And I think that's where some of you are today. Look what happened to Zechariah. Look what happened. Just stand with me right now. I'm just going to read this over us. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. What happened when Jesus ascended into heaven? He said, my spirit will come. My spirit will be on my church. The Spirit of God is here, filled with the Spirit, and prophesied. And he goes on, and all of that time that he couldn't hear and he couldn't speak just starts coming out of him. Just line after line after line. The promises of God, the promises of God. And he gets to this one line and it says, and you, my child, the one I prayed for, the one I begged the Lord for, will be called a prophet of the Most High. Isn't that a different man than, you expect me to believe this? That man has been to the wilderness. And God has stripped him of some things and then put his spirit on him. And he prophesied a new perspective, a new voice, a new volume. What would happen, Waymaker Church, in this cynical time where so many people are cynical to the church and the things of the Lord? What would happen if there was a church who just had a new perspective and a new volume and a new voice, and they cried out to the Lord? You will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. You will go ahead of him and you will tell people that God is on the move, and the forgiveness of sin is because of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Woo! There's got to be a group of people who are willing to say, you know what? My heart is a little cynical right now, but I don't want it to be. I don't want it to be. And so, Lord, if you have to sit me down and shut my mouth and turn down the world, do it. Because I would rather have you and a new perspective and a new voice and a new volume than this slow, low burn of bitterness and distrust and a hopeless future. Lord, here I am. I pour it out. I pour it out. I pour it out.
Thank you so much for joining us. And a special thank you to those who give to Waymaker Church. It is because of you that our ministry is possible. Visit waymaker.church to give now. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, be sure to subscribe. You can also share it with your friends and family. Thanks again for listening. Now go make a way.